two of my colleagues at the state offices work. They worked with the Georgia Tobacco Use Prevention Program and also the Cardiovascular Health Initiative, and that's Laura Whalen and Omar Gassous. So I'm relaying their good work. Okay, I have no relationships to disclose. So basically what I'm going to be highlighting for you today is the findings that we had from customers, employees, and also manager or owners of bars and restaurants in Savannah, and how they feel the smoke-free ordinance impacted their business or their patronage to the bar or restaurant. And this is basically the why of what Breathe Easy Savannah. Breathe Easy Savannah is a coalition that was formed. It's a grassroots coalition that was formed within the big umbrella organization of Healthy Savannah. And they really wanted to make all workplaces smoke-free, and so that secondhand smoke would not be a condition of employment. So, we recognized that secondhand smoke exposure was the cause of much damage to the body, and it could also trigger heart attacks and asthma attacks as well. And this is what we wanted to reduce in the community. As you can see through this graph, that it is a big workplace problem, the secondhand smoke exposure in Georgia. Almost 40% of adults that work where they are exposed to secondhand smoke also have heart disease. So there's a big, risk for heart disease among these people that work with secondhand smoke. So my district is 9-1, which is on the coast of Georgia, in the south of the state. And in the past, we've actually registered in the highest 25th percent of the prevalence of secondhand smoke exposure in adults. We're starting to get better, but we have the smoke-free ordinance. We believe that that's going to really put us in the lower group, and that's really our goal. All right, and I told you about Healthy Savannah, and that the Breathe Easy Savannah Coalition came out of that. And it was really the timing of this, because, Savannah is where the prisoners, lawyers, and Catholics were banned from England. So there are a lot of people in Savannah, a lot of locals, that really like it dirty and like it, the way it was. But there's been movement by the locals to kind of reverse the unhealthy trends. And so there was a Savannah Chatham Day at the state capitol, and one of the lobbyists for the American Cancer Society, Amy Hughes, was there talking with some of our Healthy Savannah representatives, and all thought that adopting a model smoke-free policy or ordinance for the city of Savannah would be a great thing to put on the legislative agenda, and that's exactly what they did. So they gauged interest from the community. We had a community forum, and there was a lot of political will and community will around adopting a model ordinance, which was kind of a little bit surprising to us because, again, we thought everybody liked it dirty. So in August of 2010, the mayor and the alderman of Savannah approved the smoke-free ordinance, and it became effective in January 1, 2011. And from September to December 2010, there was a big campaign to help the community kind of wrap their arms around what the adoption of this ordinance would mean. And we wanted to be very kind to the bar and restaurant owners, especially because in the political the town hall meetings that were happening, they expressed extreme concern about losing business, and we wanted to assure them that based on national data that that would not happen. Okay. So the project that Laura and Omar did together was, it was a 12-month post-implementation project to kind of look at what the perceived impact of the ordinance had on customers, the employees, and also the managers or owners. They also wanted to look at The customer's likelihood of patronizing a bar or restaurant after the ordinance has been passed, if there's been any changes in smoking behavior, or any business outcomes that were expected or unexpected. So this is the methodology that they used. They conducted interviews of the customers, employees, and bar managers and owners over a two-day period, so they got to bar hop on company time. They did not drink. And these were state folks. So these were folks from the state public health. So they had no affiliation with the Healthy Savannah Coalition or the Breathe Easy Savannah movement. So they had an unbiased, or they weren't trying to make the data look great. And what helped them establish credibility in the bars so that they weren't looked at as, you know, what are you trying to get out of my business? They were accompanied by environmental health specialists that were from Chatham County, and these health inspectors were the ones that actually went into these particular bars. So they established credibility from that point, and there seemed to be an ease with which the customers, the bar owners, the employees talked or just were able to share their information with these evaluators. So these semi-structured qualitative interviews were conducted with the restaurant and bar owners, managers, employees, and patrons during January 2011. We were able to achieve 100% participation, which we were not expecting, but everybody was very willing to give their opinions. They were also allowed to respond anonymously, and so it was bars and restaurants, and the restaurants are the hybrid restaurants that we had, where they could be smoke-free during the daytime, and at the bewitching hour, they could stop serving food and stop serving minors and then become a smoking establishment. So that's what we determined as restaurants, and then the bars, these evaluators went to. Okay, so after this data was collected, it was put through the qualitative data analysis software InVivo 8 to recognize any themes that came out of the answers that they got from the questionnaires. So in the coding scheme that they used, they had 48 thematic codes that they put together, and also they made sure that intercoder reliability was established, in that each of the two coders that, or the evaluators that were doing the project, independently coded and got the same code for each item that they were looking for themes with. Okay, so that's the coding analysis methodology. So what they found were, in 140 interviews across 17 bars and 20 restaurants, it was generally positive. The reaction to the ordinance was actually good. As you can see with the restaurants, though, you were more likely to favor the ordinance versus the bars, and we'll get into why that was. But we'll start, and enforcement isn't really an issue here, or it hasn't been an issue, because it seemed to be a self-enforcing ordinance, and people were really wanting to do the right thing. They did not want to break the laws. So there was some chatter and, irritation, but no, there was always compliance. So with the customers that were interviewed, you can see that 55% were pro-ordinance and 33% were anti. And so with the pro-ordinance feedback that we got, it was mostly dealing with air quality improvement, health concerns, and also secondhand smoke exposure, or reduced secondhand smoke exposure. So I'll read you a few of these quotes. It's wonderful because I don't like smelling like smoke. I don't smoke in my own house, so should not smoke in an establishment. It's a lot nicer now, especially since the bar has a low ceiling, and it was like a fog. My eyes would sting. I love it as a non-smoker, no secondhand smoke, no stench, and it's healthier for everybody. So you can see that this was, for the customers, it was a better experience. For those that were anti-ordinance, their responses were mostly around business owner rights, the association between alcohol and smoking, and also individual rights. So with the bar alcohol environment, it's a lot of people saying, I only smoke when I drink, so please let me smoke and drink at the same time. Business owner rights was a really big one that we were really sensitive about. You know, it's a privately owned business. Who the hell can tell them what they can and cannot do? This is the United States of America, not Russia. My poor Russian friends. Okay. I want to be able to have a cigarette or cigar in a bar. I should be able to do that. Okay. So, a majority of the customers do not go out less than before. So that was one of the concerns, is that we wouldn't see people patronizing the bars anymore because they couldn't smoke. And also what we're finding is that people that didn't go to the bars before are now going to the bars because they can stand being in there without the exposure to secondhand smoke. Okay. And what's interesting is that we've had a little impact on customer smoking too. So, you know, they're adjusting to the ordinance. They smoke outside, they don't smoke inside, but they're also reporting that they're smoking less than they normally would, which is really good for, you know, which is a nice thing for us to see. So these are the lessons that we've learned. The customers largely favor the smoke-free ordinance. The support stems from air quality improvements, health benefits, and reduced secondhand smoke exposure. Opposition stems from concerns about business owner rights and individual rights, and also the association between smoking and drinking. And overall, the customers' patronage of bars and restaurants has not decreased. Some customers are going out more and to new places because they are now smoke-free, and that smokers smoke less than they used to while at bars and restaurants. So those are some good things that we've learned. With regard to employee response, 68% of the ones that were interviewed were pro-ordinance and 23 were anti. So again, you see the themes that are coming through. The air quality is better, less secondhand smoke exposure, and cleanliness. Cleanliness was a big thing that came out with the employees and the bar owners. They don't have to pay for upholstery cleaning as much as they used to, or they don't have to clean all the tar and the residue off most of their equipment. So that was good. With the employee the anti-ordinance folks, they were seeing business loss, business owner rights were infringed upon, and also litter. With the business loss, we saw that in the bars that were right on the border of where the city limits were. So they were obviously seeing their customers go to bars across the street, where the county started, or the county that hadn't adopted the ordinance. That's, you know, where their jurisdiction was. So they really did see customer loss there. So it was nice that the county actually adopted the ordinance as well. So it was a level playing field at that point. It's a level playing field now. Okay. And litter, the city does fine businesses for litter. So now that the ashes and the butts are not inside, they're on the street, and so the businesses have to clean up, you know, outside their establishments. Okay, so these are some of the employee lessons learned. Okay, thank you. Employees strongly favor the smoke-free ordinance. Support stems from air quality improvements, reduced secondhand smoke exposure, and cleanliness. Opposition stems from concerns about losing business to establishments not covered under the ordinance. Business owner rights, litter. Employees smoke less, both on the job and in general, and employees report fewer symptoms of secondhand smoke exposure. So moving on to the owner-manager, you can see also pro-ordinance 61% versus anti-ordinance 26%. And pro-ordinance, they generally support it because this happened to restaurants back 15 years ago, and so they figure its time had come, and they were ready for it. Air quality is better, and also the cleanliness, as I had mentioned before. Those that are anti-ordinance, business owner rights, the litter, the business loss, and they also felt excluded from the political process of the adoption of the ordinance. But they actually were given a lot of time to voice their concerns, and that's how we developed the kinder, gentler approach to the education campaign. Okay. With the restaurants, they did not feel any negative effects because most of the restaurants already were covered under the state smoke-free law, so no one's allowed to smoke in our restaurants. But it was the hybrids that, needed, the ones that turned into the smoking establishments and alcohol establishments after 8. So there really was no negative effect on our restaurants. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. These were some factors that were affecting the impact on bars, the proximity to city limits, and also the outdoor and patio bars. People were going to those patios because they felt they could smoke there too. So, all right, so these are the lessons learned from owners and managers. They do favor the ordinance. Their support stems from air quality improvements and cleanliness. Opposition stems from business owner rights, business loss to establishments not covered under the ordinance, outdoor litter, exclusion from the political process. Also, restaurants and half the bars reported being neutral or positively affected by the ordinance. Negatively affected bars were located near city limits and or lacked outdoor space. Okay, so our next steps are to look at restaurant and bar revenue data, and I actually got that hot off the press on Monday. So it's in your online handouts. So we did get some economic data that supports that the ordinance had no impact on the businesses. We're going to be looking at tobacco sales data, ER admissions for heart attacks, which in the past had gone down in other cities, and then surveillance data. Okay, I'm so sorry, and I'll take questions after. Okay, thank you.